Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, and Tom Fitton.
It's that time again. It's Bears Packers. Trying to be dramatic, Tom. Trying to set the scene. Here on the Bears Etc. podcast, episode 48. The season began with the Packers who whooped the Bears in week one. The Bears are a different team as we enter week 18. Nothing else to play for but their own pride and their own big finish as a platform to 2024, which promises to be extremely intriguing. The Packers, well, they're trying to secure a playoff spot with a win, and they could have a 6 or 7 seed in the playoffs. We'll get to all of it in this episode. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. As always, we also have special guest Mike Tomczak, Tom's teammate from the 85 Bears, now an assistant football coach on a volunteer level at Youngstown State, something he's done for the last 8 years or so. I think you'll find the conversation riveting and entertaining. And we're going to hear...
You learned a lot of stuff you never knew, didn't you?
1,000,000%. Yeah. Yes. And every time I think I've heard every 85 Bears story... That's why, no. Tom, as we digress for just a smidge, no documentary that has ever been done or will be done could ever capture every single strain and thread of that 85 Bear team. You can't.
You can't because, first of all, you can't do a documentary long enough. And then, you know, it just the happenstance that you and I got on different subject matters and different avenues of interest that affected both myself and Mike because we are incoming Bear rookies together. You know, it kind of kicked off a friendship that has lasted this long and beyond. I'm friends with his entire family, was close to his dad and everything. But the behind-the-scenes stories that you don't get a chance to hear until you actually sit down and talk about them, I think people will really get a kick out of some of the chance meetings and some of the things that happened throughout our careers together.
Unreal. We're also going to hear the entire news conference from Wednesday from Bears quarterback Justin Fields. Thought it was his best one of the year. I think he's in a really good place mentally. He's in a good space, and he feels good about the progress that he's made individually and the team made as a whole, and he puts everything about the team, everything about what is right now. He's not really engaging on anything beyond that.
That kind of frustrates me about the press conference is because they ask him so much about his future, which is irrelevant in Wednesday of Packer week. It's about the Bears-Packers game. What have you done to improve from the first time you played the Packers week one? What are you doing right now that makes you feel more confident going into Lambeau Field? Who on your team have you developed a working relationship with that can help you beat the Green Bay Packers Sunday? And it's all those questions that go unasked because everybody wants to get the same answer to the same question of that everybody asks. And so to me, just be a little angst and angry. It's Packer week, but I think it's a little bit unfair about the questions that they continue to ask Justin every time he goes to the podium, whether it's post-game or midweek.
Good news, Chicago. United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears and you too. Let's get the status at Halas. Some movement on the roster. Colin Johnson, the big receiver, big number 80. And now on the active roster, they waive linebacker DeMarcus Gates, a long snapper Matt Overton, an emergency addition on the practice squad with Patrick Scales dealing with a foot injury. They're trying to see how he makes it through the week. Also, Tyreek Stevenson, Tom, named NFC Defensive Player of the Week. 4 pass breakups, 2 interceptions. We've talked a lot about him. He's been one of the most targeted corners in the NFL. In neon lights, I'm a rookie. You know, have at it with Jalen Johnson on the other side. But he has got better the entire season, matured, and he has never gone in the tank, Tom. Never. Not one time.
You know, outside of quarterback, cornerback is the position that you have to have the thickest skin. Mm-hmm. Because if you think of a quarterback throwing in interceptions, his approach to the sideline, there's a million things going through his head. You're a cornerback and you give up a touchdown, there's a million things going through your head, and then there's a lot said about you after the game. I admire Justin Fields and I admire Tyreek Stevenson because of two of the thickest skin positions on an NFL team. Both of them have put that on display.
And the NFC Offensive Player of the Week is who the Bears will be facing. Jordan Love, five games with three or more touchdowns and a 100-plus quarterback rating, tied for most in the league. In the win over Minnesota, we touched on it in the Monday podcast, three touchdowns passing, one rushing, and 256 yards of passing and a 125 quarterback rating. He is elevating. He is. He's elevating at quarterback. It'll be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, you know, Jordan Love will probably tell you he's the most fortunate player in the NFL to have the opportunity to be drafted in the first round and sit behind a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers for that long before he was put in as the starting quarterback, because you can see his mannerisms, the way he looks at the offense, the things that he is seeing repetitiously in the meetings that has spoke to him by the coaches, and he watched Aaron Rodgers do, the way he handles himself in preparation through the regular season and through training camp. So Jordan Love throughout the course of the season has put a lot of those types of improvements on display, and deservingly so, he wins the award.
And the Bears have two Pro Bowlers, Tom, announced last night, and they were done so kind of interestingly by the Bears. Ryan Poles, the general manager, and Matt Eberflus in on it. So they called in cornerback Jalen Johnson and defensive end Montez Sweat on their off day on Tuesday. Said they had some things for them to look at on plays from the game on Sunday. And so while they were both hesitant, they did arrive, and there were GoPros in the office when they showed up and were told that they were Pro Bowlers. And the reactions, you can check out on the Bears' website and the Bears' social channels, simply outstate. Jalen was with his whole family. He was going nuts, and Montez Sweat thrilled. So two Pro Bowlers from the Bears, and there was a late push by the fan voting. A number of Bears players made it into the top 10. Now, I know it's not a game. We can debate what this is all about, you know, on another podcast maybe, but it's a bunch of events now as opposed to just the game. So it's not like it used to be, but the recognition is such that players do appreciate it, I believe.
I'm all for Montez Sweat. I'm all for Jalen Johnson. I think TJ Edwards, he deserves the Pro Bowl as well. I think Justin Fields should get consideration.
Let's listen in to Justin Fields at the podium at Halas Hall on Wednesday.
Did it feel like you were showing the world kind of what you're capable of?
I mean, it just felt good to go out there and get a dub with my teammates. I think everybody played well, offense, defense, special teams. So, you know, it's always good, a good feeling when you get a win at home.
Is there satisfaction, though, when you play a good game and you get the win?
I mean, I'm just doing my job at the end of the day. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. In my eyes, I could have played better. Didn't play good enough, but like I said, good team win. Everybody played well on all three phases of the football, and good team win. So,
how much better have you gotten and this team gotten since the first game against Green Bay to start this year?
I think we've improved tremendously in all phases. And I think that's players and coaches. So we've grown a lot as a team. Our chemistry has grown with each other. So I'm excited to go out there Sunday at 3:45 and voila. So,
that's a long time ago. But does that factor in? Is there any kind of motivation or incentive to be like, hey, we want to show the Packers what we are relative to them beating you guys to start the season?
Does it factor in that they beat us early in the season?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to win every game. It doesn't matter when they beat us. We're not thinking of that. Our mindset is just go out there and play ball like how we've been playing and, win the game. So every game we want to win, no matter against just the Deerfield part, whatever you know, team or the Green Bay Packers. So every game we step on the field, we want to win a game. So, yeah.
Early this year, you pointed to the Lions of last season, the turnaround that they had and kind of setting the foundation. Obviously, the parallels are starting to become more clear now with the success you guys have had as of late. Do you think back to that at all? Do you look to that as an example still?
I mean, I was just kind of giving an example, but no, we're not basing our team based off of their team last year. I was just simply comparing, you know, our season this year versus theirs last year. But, yeah.
Obviously, they did finish last year with a Week 18 win at Lambeau. I mean, what would it mean to cap the season off with a victory there and rivalry or not, the significance for you guys within?
You know, I think it'd mean a lot to, you know, the team, the fans, the city. I think it'd be great. You know, we know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I just think with, you know, kind of all of that on the table, I think, you know, it'd be great, a great feeling to, you know, end the season off with a win in Lambeau up there. But, you know, we're just going to take it day by day, worry about, you know, the rest of the day and tomorrow and, you know, of course, leading up to Sunday, get ready to play ball. So,
because of what's at stake for them, you're going to walk into a pretty big game environment on Sunday. What's the value for a team like you guys in just gaining experience in those big game, big stage moments?
I don't see it being that much different. I see it, you know, because everybody always, the rivalry, whatever, I think it's going to be, you know, the same environment. So I don't see it being too much different. But, I mean, like I said, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun environment to walk into, you know, their home field. I know their fans are going to be loud because there's not much to do in Green Bay except watch football. But it's going to be a great environment to us for us to play in and, you know, hopefully have a great game and get the dub on Sunday. So,
where is having DJ as a teammate help you grow as a quarterback the most this year?
You know, I just talk about, you know, how smart he is, how he understands leverages, coverages, has tempos, you know, in and out of his routes, and of course he's just a great player and a playmaker. So you know, it's great having him on the team. He makes my job easier. Like I always say, you know, he's pretty much always open unless they, you know, double team him. But I mean, it's been great. You know, anytime you can get the ball in his hands, you know, you're most likely going to get an explosive play. He's hard to tackle. He's like a running back after he gets the ball in his hands. So like I've said, throughout this whole year, he's made my job easier. And been a great asset to the team.
There's been a catch of his this year that in game that you were even astonished by.
I think the last game was one of his best catches that I've seen. The over the shoulder, I think it was third down or something like that. Yeah, that was a pretty cool catch. But I've seen him make, you know, plenty of catches in practice that were wild. So y'all probably haven't even seen him. But I can't really think of any others that come to the top of my head, you know, from game. But I think the one last week was pretty cool.
Justin, we've talked to you all year about compartmentalizing whatever your future might be and just worrying about the next game. What happens next week when there's no next game to worry about? Do you know whether you'll have any more clarity about your future? And how do you deal with it when maybe there's not the focus you need so intensely every day where you might let your mind wander next week?
I don't even know if we're going to get next week, brother, so I'm just worried about the rest of the day and you know, the rest of the night. So got these meetings I'm about to head to. And, you know, like I said, we got a game on Sunday. I'm not focused on you know, what happens after that. So, yeah.
Justin, what have you appreciated most about the brotherhood in your locker room?
You know, just how tight-knit we are, you know, how much we've grown over the season. You know, like I said, it feels like almost a college locker room where you pretty much live within the, you know, 10-minute radius of all the guys. You're always hanging out and stuff like that. So the chemistry we have, the closeness we have within our group is amazing to see, and it's rare in the NFL. So, you know, I'm definitely grateful for, you know, all of the relationships and connections I've made with, you know, all of my teammates this year. So it's just been awesome. So
contrast the way your defense is playing right now comparatively to where it was a year ago. What's your level of appreciation for that side of the ball and what they've done to kind of fuel some of it?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, like I always say after the game, it makes my job easier when they give us short fields and take the ball away. And really on offense, if you're having a slow day, you can really just worried about field position. Like, I think Cleveland was a great example. Kind of the first half, you know, it was kind of a defensive battle at first. And field position was really important. You know, when you get a team backed up or we're backed up, you know, that's advantage them. So, you know, when you have a defense that's playing really well, you know, you don't have to force stuff downfield. You can take what the defense gives you and really just know that your defense is going to have your back. So, I mean, with the way that they've been playing, you know, I mean, offense is our job as an offense has been way easier. Like I said, we put up 28 points and the game's pretty much over. So, You know, defense has been playing great, and looking forward to them playing lights out one more time this year. So it's going to be fun.
Justin, most NFL quarterbacks get support from their teammates, but when your teammates talk about you, they really, really gush about you. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to have that really strong support from the guys around you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just shows on how much we love each other, not only as players, but, you know, as people, as, you know, people outside of the building. You know, we've been around a lot of guys, you know, in the past on different teams and stuff like that. And you can kind of tell when people really love the game and really are passionate about the game of football. And, you know, I would say all the guys in the locker room are. So when you just see their work ethic, how much they care about the game, how much they care about, you know, the team and winning, the team success, you know, that just all brings us closer together and, you know, focusing on accomplishing one goal as a team. So I just think that's, you know, goes back to, you know, what we talked about at the beginning of this year with, you know, Coach Flus just getting us all together, getting us all close, having those you know, breaking off into groups and really just getting closer to each other, talking about, you know, personal life from growing up and stuff like that. So when you know a guy's story, when you know where he's came from, you get to connect on a deeper personal level, which, you know, which causes you to have that connection closer. So when you just know a guy for who he is away from the game, that's when you really get to connect with the teammates and really start to grow as a team. So,
all right, you listened to it, Tom, and I did as well. I thought he was real strong up there.
So do I. I really admire Justin from what he's gone through all season. And not only – I like the fact that when he talks about how close the locker room is, he referred to it as a 10-minute radius. And that means, you know, just to analogize, that the closest group of people in your football life are the guys inside that locker room. And a lot of times with the modern-day world of cell phones, a lot of your closest people and your support are only a phone call or text message or an email away. When you have that closeness that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and the organization has developed inside that locker room, I think it tells you a lot about the direction this organization is going.
When it's time to tackle some game day deals, then go with a grocer who's been part of Chicago since 1899. Jewel Osco, the official grocery store of the Chicago Bears. All right, in terms of what he's looking at, as we're going to start with the Bears offense against the Packers defense, you obviously got to talk about Rashawn Gary on one end, Preston Smith, the outside linebacker, on the other, and, of course, Kenny Clark on the interior, Matt Eberflus circled Jair Alexander. They've got some young players added to that mix. Overall, the numbers don't compute, though. The defense has struggled for Green Bay. What's attackable, in your opinion?
You know, you always have to start with the Bears' running game. And if you can block Kenny Clark and kind of keep Preston Smith and the other guy, you know, push to the exterior of the offense with contained concerns for Justin Fields, and you can open up some of those point-of-attack runs with both Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, then I think that's the best exposure of success that you can have right through center field of that defense. But when you are going to incorporate pass protection, I don't think you're going to be wise to just sit in the pocket with Justin Fields because of the support of the crowd noise, the deficiencies it creates for the offensive line getting off the ball altogether and on time. Sometimes that takes a toll on your organized pass protection. So Justin's going to have to be dynamic in his athleticism and his escapability, but still, if you want to have an identity that's figured out even late in the season and it is your run game is going to have to be as supportive as it has been the last 2 weeks.
And certainly we cannot forget the first series in week one, the inability to convert on third and fourth down kind of became a perpetual issue over the course of the season at times, and that is a cleanup area for sure. The Bears got significantly better in many phases, and that is one that continues to need to be addressed, right?
Well, in short yardage, in the two plays they ran the first game of the season, they gave so much pre-identification where they were going to run the ball, and then you see the defense of the Green Bay Packers condense down, and they get inside the exposed lanes of quarterback sneaks or a sneak by Cole Kmet. And then all of a sudden now the defense is in your lane that you're trying to create, and it's difficult to move guys on those instances. So you have to have a variety of plays for short yardage and goal line. And if you are going to do a quarterback sneak, it has to be instantaneously, and it's not with a controlled snap count that gives the defense more time to be organized in the lanes of control. So we'll see about what subtle changes that they make to short yardage and goal line at the 18th week of the season as opposed to the first week of the season.
Let me ask you about that, too. And when you get to the line of scrimmage, are you a proponent then of what you're saying is you get to the line, if it's third and one, fourth and one, you get to the line of scrimmage, go.
Yes. You break the huddle, first down, boom, you go. And everybody's got to be ready for it. They know they're not going to be in their stance for an extended period of time. And as soon as Justin gets to the line of scrimmage, first down, go. And it's going to be difficult because you know what the crowd is going to contribute on third and fourth and one. They're going to be insane. So it's not going to be simple. It's going to take discipline in order to pull that off.
All right, we're going to step away from the game plan talk. We'll talk about the other side of the ball, the defense against Jordan Love and Aaron Jones and the fellas. But first, our conversation with former Chicago Bear, 1985 undrafted out of Ohio State, Tom's old rookie teammate and longtime friend, Mike Tomczak. He looks like a little Tom Cruise right now. He's got the shades. He looks good. He hasn't aged. Why is Tom not looking like this? Tom looks more like a senior citizen professor, and you look cool. You got the black leather jacket going. You got the shades. Tom, he looks good.
It's our choice, right, Jeff? It's our choice in life to either look good or either that or work hard at it.
Listen, that's why I hung around with Mike when we were both young Chicago Bears, because it was right when Top Gun came out. And Mike used to wear those aviator sunglasses, and, you know, he used to attract a lot of attention because of it. And I used to like the attention that Mike attracted.
I was just trying to drive membership down to my parents' health club down in Mokena and Joliet.
Well, those of you out there that are newer to the Bears and don't remember all the 85 Bears, Big Mike is Chicago born and bred, Calumet City, Thornton Fractional North High School, Ohio State, then Bears, then several other stops in the National Football League. And are you still doing the volunteer assistant coaching at Youngstown State?
I am, Jeff, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. It'll be my eighth year coming up here in the spring and having a lot of fun with it, getting a chance to inspire young men and that are serving the community well and serving the university well. So it's been fun. Jim Trussell's been the conduit for many years, and he retired a year ago in January. You know, YSU is a good place for me right now, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Are you working with quarterbacks or all players, or are you just there to lend support?
Kind of a combination. You know, for some reason, some way, I kind of migrate towards the quarterback room, right?
Oh, yeah.
And try to get in the ear of the offensive coordinator like every fan wants to do, especially in Chicago. But, no, it's been great. I've been advising Doug Phillips, our head coach, going on his fifth year. And the Missouri Valley Conference, guys, I don't know if you know it, but this weekend, South Dakota State versus Montana for the national championship on Saturday. And it'll be one competitive battle for sure.
Hey, Mike, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I'm going to ask you one question about the college uniform, because our good buddy and teammate Jay Hilgenberg sent out a tweet yesterday about his dissatisfaction with the uniform of the college player today and the fact that most of these guys look like they're wearing shorts instead of a football uniform. Is it something as a coach that you just have to go along with to satisfy the kids, or are you okay with it?
I'm not okay with it. Our head coach isn't okay. You know, what happens a lot of times, Tom, whether it be high school, college, or the pros, either you coach it or you allow it. And if you allow it, the locker room will take over. As you well know, throughout your high school, college, and professional career, and Jeff, you probably feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things you do in life, let alone at a household or running a business, you know, you got to coach them up consistently. You know, here's one thing I've learned about the college game. Assume they know nothing. They want to be told and taught. And you got to do it repetitiously because the rosters are turning over ever so quickly now in college football. So, again, either you coach it or you allow it.
I tell you, that's some of the most educated points made that we've heard on this podcast now we've been doing almost 50 times, which is good to hear. Super encouraging, Mike. But listen, you know, when Jeff introduced you as a former Chicago Bear, Ohio State, TF North, the whole deal, you're also a former Green Bay Packer. When we get ready for this rivalry, we've always been Chicago Bears, and that's where our roots in the entire growth of our career is bred, outside me playing 1 year for the Dolphins. You know, you had a chance to play it on a couple teams in the NFL. How do you look at the Bear-Packer rivalry at this point in your life, as opposed to when we are both in our 20s and 30s?
Well, a lot's changed. Obviously, the numbers stay the same, but the names change in the back of the jerseys on both teams. And it's been three-plus decades since I played for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, what a treat that was for me. You know, I was probably one of the first quarterbacks in Chicago Bear history that crossed that state line and went north to Green Bay. And I was grateful for it. I truly was. Lindy Infante and Ron Wolf and the ownership group welcomed me up there. And I tell you what, the first couple of weeks I was in Green Bay, Tom and Jeff, I got interrogated. I got interrogated by Lindy Infante, by the offensive coordinator, by defensive coordinator, and Ron Wolf. What the hell are the Bears doing down there? Why are they winning so many division championships? And that was the mantra for them to try to capture. And sure enough, it didn't take them too long. Once Favre and Mike Holmgren got there, you know, things changed rather quickly on the side of the Green Bay Packers. And it was a treat for me. You know, everyone says Ohio State, Michigan is the greatest rivalry in college sports, but arguably there are many others, right? There are many other college games that are equally important. But Green Bay, Chicago, guys, how many years now? 105, maybe? I don't know the number.
104. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Jeff. And how many of those? You guys have probably capped, you know, two decades of those, right?
Oh, yeah. For me, it's coming up on, 27 years. But, you know, I graduated from Iowa State in December of 84, told to go cover Bears training camp. And I have cassette tapes at home in boxes. I mean, and now and I look back, we're all the same age. Like, right. You know, I'm 61. I believe you are, yeah, as well. Tommy's, yeah, 60. And it was an intimidating bunch, in a good way. Yeah. But
you know when I realized the rivalry was real? There was a guy named Ron Holstrom. Tom remembers him. He played at, yep, Iowa. And it was our first spring workout. And there were three stalls in the bathroom, three poopers, if you will. And I'm in the far one against the wall. I didn't realize this, but there was no toilet paper. Long story short, a guy gets in the stall one. And I say, hey, my man, can you help me out? He goes, who is that? And I said, Tom, Zach. He goes, F you. He didn't do it. Ron Holstrom, he left me hanging.
Oh,
you know,
no.
That's when he said, hey, you came from the Bears. You came from the Bears. So it was real. But, again, your loyalties are with the colors you wear. And I had a good time competing against the Bears the 2 years I was in Green Bay. And I always remember those games as being special on both sides of the sideline.
Mike, when you look at a quarterback like Justin Fields, when you think about, you know, what he did at Ohio State and what he's doing in the NFL, what is the most attractive part of his game to you as a former Ohio State, now a college coach and a professional quarterback?
You know, Tom, this is something you guys have never seen before from the broadcast booth. He has thrown off schedule. He has made more plays off schedule than he's made on schedule. And I think you guys know what I mean. You know, plays called for a play action pass. He hits that fifth step and throws the ball. You know, that might happen 40, 30% of the time, but the other 60 to 70% of the time it's off schedule. He's reacting, becoming an athlete, extending the play, widening the field. So electric, so uncharacteristic, because most defenses want a guy in the pocket, right?
Yeah.
They want to keep him in the pocket. So, you know, as a former Buckeye, I wish him a long career, because I've been holding that belt for a long time now, and I hope it's a healthy one, because he's been banged up, you know, in the early part of his career, and he's missed, you know, a number of games. You guys would know better than I, and I just wish him good health, and hopefully everything works out in Chicago for him. And I wish I was a lot more like him, to be honest with you. I wish I had some of that talent.
There's a new wrinkle every week. I mean, you just really know. As a broadcaster, and I mentioned this last year, and Tom's heard me say this, I had a hard time catching up to Justin when he started the running aspect of his season, because He has options. He might throw it. He might stop and pop. It looks like he's rushing around the end. He'll throw back middle of the field. And so I never knew what was coming, so I had to kind of slow myself down a little bit. I've caught up to him now in the second year, but it's almost like a defensive player trying to catch up to a starting quarterback, you know, when they're a rookie.
Yeah, you've had to adapt in a broadcast booth, and you slowed your broadcast down because you don't know the outcome. And, Tom, you would agree, he's an outlier. Very rarely do you see – you might have saw Russell Wilson early in his career, right? That might have – Randall Cunningham, take it back, you know, three decades. Michael Vick. But he is so different than everyone, and I enjoy watching the highlights. I don't see a lot of games, but I enjoy watching the highlights when he performs.
You know, Mike, but as a coach, if you say he throws off schedule 50, maybe up to 55% of the time, and you're coaching your receivers, you're coaching your offensive line, and you're not, you know, you're coaching those guys, how do you coach them if you talk about a quarterback that doesn't throw on schedule into the design of the specific play?
Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I think everyone in that Hallis Hall has had to adapt on the offensive side of the ball. They've had to tell the offensive line, sustain your blocks. You know, I know you don't have eyes in the back of your head, but, you know, slow your pace down. You know, best thing you could do is just play man-to-man defense with, you know, the opposition and just hope that you're doing the right thing. But, you know, they have been clicking, right? They've been clicking the last couple weeks, 3 weeks, you know, with their offense, and I think they're okay with off-schedule stuff. Because he gets you out of trouble, and he gets you in a position where either you're going to go forward on fourth down or you're going to go ahead and punt the ball away and play defense.
Have you had the opportunity to watch Jordan Love since week 11? 16 touchdowns, one interception. Wow.
Well, yeah, I tell you, that's another dude that is really playing out of his skin, right? You know, who would have thought that? I'd like to have those numbers, 16 touchdowns, one interception. I mean, that's kind of an outlier for the last 11 weeks, right? But, you know, one thing you look at, Jeff, you know, his durability. He's remained healthy. He's had other complimentary players on his side of the ball. There's a great confidence right now in the way they're playing. So it's going to be a competitive battle, and I think both these organizations want to go out on a high note. So it'll be a 60-minute game for sure and a lot of blood left on the field.
Hey, Mike, so the quarterback position, you look at Favre to Rodgers, Rodgers to Love. Do you think that the template of success for the quarterback position is to draft a quarterback and have the good fortune of him sitting behind a quality quarterback for a couple of years?
These quarterbacks nowadays, Tom, don't want to sit. You know, it's pretty obvious that they're going to play the younger guy if they can. Green Bay was a luxury, a great luxury. And the way they transitioned, you know, there was, you know, kind of a plug and play. The stuff they're doing in Cleveland right now with their organization, with all the injuries they've had. And I look at the same scenario in Green Bay. You know, they had opportunities to, you know, do something. They believed in their quarterbacks, Tom. That's one thing that organization has done. They've been loyal and they trust the process of getting these quarterbacks to play at a high level.
Mike Tomczak, active on X, otherwise known as Twitter. And I've noticed these sayings that you've put out there, these thoughts, and I jot them down. I read them every day because I'm interested in them, and a lot of it does speak to me. So here's one. I think it was today's. Instead of crafting extensive lists of resolutions, we may want to choose a single word to guide our year. Stick-to-itiveness with exclamations, and then you punctuate each one of your phrases every day with onward. So onward and upward, and, you know, I just learned yesterday that only 1% of the population in this world follow through or are held accountable for their resolutions that they put out there. So I like the stick-to-itiveness angle. What has motivated you to do this? Is this something that you've always are these your original thoughts, and why you put it out there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jeff. Real good question, and. You know, we draw different inspiration at different times in our life, whether it be a tragedy, whether it be you want to inspire other people. And I think the older you get in life, the more you realize it's not about you. It's about serving others to whatever capacity. And being around these college student athletes, you know, they're so mobile. They're media savvy. They're putting out stuff. And when I started doing that, a lot of players would come up to me and say, hey, coach, I appreciate that today. Talk to me. It really meant a lot to me. And if you touch one person, it could start a ripple effect, right? It's like throwing a rock in a lake. You know, you see the ripple effect and everything. So, you know, I draw inspiration from people that I've read about. I draw internal inspiration to share, you know, in text messages. And, you know, there's a message out there that we haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived. And that's why I always say onward. Because in football and in life, it's the next play. It's the next series. It's the next day. It's the next opportunity. And that's the way I correlate my life. After three downs, you don't get a first down. You got to punt the football or go for it on fourth down. So it's always onward and upward.
I have one more, Tom. Let me read one. And this is true for all of us. I hope you're living the life you want. And if not, I hope you have the courage to turn around and start again. And that could be used in any walk of life, any business, any personal situation. And that one's big on me. And Tom, this one too. Don't exercise to be thin. Exercise to be strong. Which Tom always, he's been, my daughter is a competitive weightlifter now, and she's all over me. Dad, you got to start lifting weights. Stop worrying about eating pasta and start lifting weights.
Hey, sometimes it takes a message, the same message from a different voice that'll, you know, touch your heart. And, you know, Tom and I, you know, we grew up working out a lot. My parents being in the health club, my brother being in the health club industry, a lot to be said for that. But the older we get, Jeff, in our 60s, pliability, stick-to-itiveness, discipline. Those are three strong words that you can use every day of your life, but how often can you use those, right? It's building, 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 and the discipline kind of just is your foundation.
But, you know, I talk about him multiple times weekly in my life, and I think Clyde Emmerich had as much of an influence on Mike Tomczak's life as he did on my life. And I remember Clyde, to the before he passed away, talking about Mike Tomczak doing 61 dips and just the displays of strength that as a quarterback Mike put on. And I think when you have a guy like Clyde Emmerich that can be such a positive influence in your life, I think when I listen to the message that Mike puts out there, it's almost listening to a Clyde Emmerich type message deliverer. You know, and all the things that he said to us repeatedly throughout our life and how important he was in our future life.
Great point. Jeez, what a mentor. I miss Clyde daily, and he was an inspiration not only to a lot of former players or people in life, but the Bears organization. What did he do? 6 decades, I believe.
Yep.
I think 6 decades, and just a huge impact. And, you know, he was he was the kind of master link to that chain for a number of years, and hopefully somebody is picking up what he left off on and carrying the torch for him. But, you know, it's a great point, Tom. Wonderful point about Clyde. And, you know, one thing, Tom, good lift, but get your hips.
Good lift.
Hips.
You know, I always say if your bio starts, the first man in the world to – whatever it says after that, if it's a positive, it's going to inspire a lot of people. And Clyde was that way, the first man in the world to lift 400 pounds overhead under a 200-pound body weight. And what everything you had to do in order to accomplish that, people don't see that. They only read the sentence, and it kind of interests you in what he was able to accomplish. And I think that's what every weight program across the country, high school, pro, college, whatever it is, that's the influence they try to have.
Absolutely. Mike, I see it a lot in college football. You know, one of the most valued assistants in any college program is a strength and performance coach, without a doubt.
Mike, you had a long career. Did you think you were going to?
Oh, I was a lot like Tom in some regards. You know, going to work every day, thinking that you might be cut, having a poor performance on Sunday. You know, 4 interceptions against San Francisco, acquiring a nickname Lotto, pick 4. You know, some of those meetings, you know, but I learned this a long time ago. My dad always said this, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it was. And he said that early in life to a lot of players that he coached when I was in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And then when I got into high school, it kind of was that mantra, you know, so don't get too excitable, stay humble. Keep on working at your craft. And that's one thing that I did. I worked at my craft. I trusted my confidence. And I firmly believed that I was a leader of men. The 10 greatest people I met in a huddle were the guys that were in that huddle. Every play, every series. And my job was to motivate and go out there and let my skill take over. And I didn't do it. You know, my biggest growth year, Jeff and Tom, was my rookie year with the Bears. When Jim McMahon and Ed Hughes sat me down and said, hey, this game is simple. Just watch the safeties, the two dudes that are underneath the goalpost. One's a free, one's a strong. See how they rotate. They're all on a string. And once I absorbed all that, the game slowed down tremendously for me. And I knew I could play this game at a high level. And at the end of my career, I can always look back and say I was the winningest quarterback in Chicago Bear history, being a free agent out of Calumet City, Illinois.
Yeah.
And that's a very proud statement. I don't like to be boastful, but a lot of players helped me along the way to get that, you know, title, Jeff. And I was shocked. When my son shared that with me 6 months ago, I was shocked that I was the winningest quarterback. I truly was.
Mike was the last remaining member of the 85 team to be on an active roster in the
NFL.
That's
what I was going to say. For going from free agent to the longest tenured member of the 85 Super Bowl team, that's one hell of an accomplishment when you think about some of the young guys. Like, that was my first year with the Bears. You think of some of the other rookies on the team at that time, and Mike to outlast us all. That's you know, there's a lot of jerseys hanging on the wall.
Yeah, you made it to 2000, right? You made it to, but with, I think you were with the Lions.
Yeah, I made it 2000. Broke my leg the third preseason game.
Ah.
Got a paycheck for 16 weeks. Got a phone call from Matt Millen, the new general manager of Detroit Lions, Steve Mariucci's protege, and Matt told me your services are no longer needed, even though you have 1 year left in your contract. We're going to let you go and bring Jim Harbaugh in. And I said, Matt, I'm a fighter. I'm a competitor. Bring me in. Let me compete with him. He goes, no, we've already decided. And I said, Matt, with all due respect, I hope you never win a game. And I hung up the phone, and they went 0-16.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I loved it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And Tom knows, and Jeff, you've been around enough of these players. It never ends well.
No.
You know, I don't care. No. In Chicago, in Green Bay, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you know, it never ends well, because when somebody terminates your contract, you got to find a job. Mm. I mean, you know, Hilgi and I always talk all the time. It would have been better for them to cut us as free agents our rookie year, so we could start our real life.
Right? Wow, but that's stick-to-itiveness to a T.
Yeah.
By you,
yeah,
right
amen,
there.
Brother.
Wow, that is a fantastic story. See, these podcasts, we're new to this year, right? This is episode 48 of the Bears Etc. podcast, and we sure do appreciate you listening. We appreciate our guests. And we've just out of happenstance, a thought comes into Tom's mind, and we start, and I threw your name out there. Hey, can you get a hold of Big Mike? We've been getting a lot of quarterbacks, and the stories are unbelievable. Like, we had Dan Fouts, who thought he'd never even make it out of his third year, you know, but you know, the coaching saved his career. They were ready to you get the right mix. You were 6 years in Pittsburgh, right? Seven. Okay. Who were your offensive coordinators?
We've had three of them. We had Ron Earhart. We had Chan Gailey, Ray Sherman, and then Mike Mularkey. So in the 7 years, there was a lot of turnover in offensive coordinators and different philosophy, but a lot like Justin Fields is going through.
Yeah. So how does that impact?
You know, it's funny, because the way Joe Flacco's been playing, I think a lot of that stuff is overrated as far as the offensive coordinator. You know, you have a great skill. Go out there and perform. You need to have a great supporter in your left ear to tell you, I'm going to put you in the right play. You're going to succeed. You're going to do fantastic. You're going to lead these guys down the field. And you have to have that repeatedly. And I had some coaches in my career that were that way. And it gave me the great belief to go out there that everything is going to work out well. And sometimes it did, but most of the time it did. So you need somebody that you could trust. And it takes a while to develop trust, guys. You know, it really does, especially when you're at the quarterback position. I've had a number of quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators that, if things went bad on the field for me, they would turn the other cheek, right? You know, they would like run up a tree, and it's like, okay, you son of a bitch. You know, I had your back for many, many, many weeks and many years, and now you're going to run up a tree. But by and large, nothing to be disgruntled about. I enjoyed everything, every training camp, every snap, every practical joke, every opportunity to get to know my teammates better. And it's been a great ride, and I'm just fortunate enough to be able to talk to you guys still and still be alive, you know, to be quite honest with you. A lot of our teammates in 85 and throughout that run in Chicago are no longer with us, and some are struggling today. And it's just great to hear you guys' voice, very familiar voices.
Last real funny story. When Mike and I the Bears were playing the Steelers, and Mike and I were walking through the lower part of the Steelers stadium because they had an alumni weekend. And Aston Kircher, I think that's how you say his name, the guy from the 70s show, he was walking in, and Mike wanted to go up and say hi to him. Before Mike got to him, he saw Mike and he goes, "Mike Tomczak from the Super Bowl Shuffle." Oh my gosh. So, you know, I mean, you think of just the route and the course and the people that get to know you throughout the course of time. It's just, you know, an awesome storybook life.
It really is, Tom. And you know, Aston Kutcher, huge Bears fan. Mm-hmm. I stood on a sideline with him and, you know, his current wife, on the Bears sideline, actually.
Yeah, I remember that. I have a picture with him in the background. I was too shy. I was too afraid to say, "Got to get a pic with you."
Right, and you got to make choices in life, Jeff. And sometimes those are still, you know, you can go to the edge of the cliff, and sometimes you got to jump or take the leap of faith. But you know, Tom, a good friend of ours here in Youngstown, Boom Boom Mancini.
Yeah,
You know, here's a guy we met, you know, in the mid '80s, you know, through Tom Dreesen and everything. And Boom Boom's been, you know, a familiar face, you know, to be associated with on occasion here in Youngstown. And, you know, he's a guy that absolutely loves the Chicago Bears. I mean, he tells me stories and his hands go as quick as his mouth goes. And he's just a fun dude to be around. He really is.
Jeff, I know that you have to go, but next time we're on the podcast, remind me, I have a funny story about Boom Boom Mancini, and we have to get him to be on the podcast.
We'll get him on the podcast for sure.
Yes.
All right, real quick, because we do have to go, and you're busy too, Mike, but we appreciate this. For those, again, the younger crowd, we got a younger audience these days as well. You played in the Super Bowl. Kickoff return, correct?
Punt team.
Oh, punt team. All right. Break it down for me. What the hell happened?
Well, you know, the last thing you want to do is, as any player that you get to a certain level in life and professionally, playing a Super Bowl and have a DNP next to your name. Did not play. And here we are, 4 minutes and 43 seconds left in the game, and Steve Fuller's handing the football off or, you know, to Calvin Thomas or Thomas Sanders. And I'm looking to my left and looking to my right, and I'm thinking, damn, I'm the only player that hadn't played yet. You know, so I'm itching closer to the field, and Steve Kays are standing next to me. I say, "Hey, Kays, I'm going in." He goes, "Where?" I said, you wait and see. Special teams. As soon as fourth down came, Jeff, I sprinted across the field like I stole something. Told Sean Gale, who happened to be the gunner on that side of the field, I said, "Hey, Coach Kays wants to see you." And as a former teammate, Sean said, "All right, man, what about him?"
Oh, my God.
Willie Claiborne, all-pro defensive back, lines up across me, goes, "What's up?" And as soon as he said, "What's up?" the ball was snapped, and I'm running down the field, and he's shoulder to shoulder with me. So I grab his face mask, unfortunately, and throw him down. I figured, you know, as a former wrestler, the body goes where the head goes. And here comes Irving Fryer my way, and I kind of sashayed him, push him out of bounds or whatever. And watching the replay on the big screen, I'm all the way to the sideline, the Bears sideline. Dicka hits me right in the chest. Gives me that nice little forearm shiver. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Coach, I don't have time to tell you. I got 20 family members. They're all from Chicagoland. This is a dream of mine to play in the Super Bowl for my favorite team. Any questions?" He goes, "Yeah, you're in the next series." So if I would have never done that, I would have never kept a game ball because I knelt down the last play and ran in the locker room,
put
it in my bag, and I came back out and celebrated with Tom and Jay and everyone. And
so you
had to do it.
So you took the game ball?
I had to do it. Well, I was the last one that had it on a kneel down. Yeah.
Where is that game ball right now?
It's sitting on my mantle.
That is a fantastic story.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm surprised. I mean, how did you not get, you know, reamed for it is the question.
Well, he got called for face masking.
I know.
So they did throw the penalty.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You guys really were something else.
46-10.
I know.
46-10.
But you know how coaches are. You know how coaches are.
Okay. Coaches want to coach, right? Yeah, coaches want to coach and correct. And I looked at it as a positive thing because, you know, I was Dicka's favorite quarterback. And every year I call him on his birthday and say, "This is your favorite quarterback." And he says, "You're right. You're my favorite quarterback." Because I saved his ass when he had a heart attack on that Wednesday. I'll tell you a funny story real quick. I go up to Hallis Hall. We had a terrible game against New England. Back and forth, yo-yo McMahon, Tom Zeck, McMahon, yeah. Tom Zeck, then all the hardball, blah, blah, blah. I didn't shower after the game. I'm ready to quit football. I'm ready to quit football in 1987. I'm tired of Ditka, all this stuff. And I'm driving up to Hallis Hall Monday morning, and a WBBM breaks in and says, "We've got a developing story. Mike Ditka had a heart attack." And I said, "Yes! Yes! There is a Holy Spirit. He's been listening to me." To straighten his rear end out. And that was on a Monday. Wednesday, I went to see him at Lake Forest Hospital, and he said, "Kid, you're my favorite. I'm never going to yell at you again. Never going to yell at you again." We went on to play the Redskins. Remember that, Tom, on that Sunday?
Yeah.
Had one of the better our team offensively, had a great game, and never had any more issues with Ditka.
Oh, my gosh. Great stuff. You also quarterbacked the Fog Bowl. You won her first 10 starts at quarterback. That set an NFL record until Big Ben broke it. You had the highest scoring game in the history of Three River Stadium. You quarterbacked the Steelers against Tennessee. So much great stuff. A great long career, a very productive life, and your love of the game still pouring through. We appreciate you, Big Mike.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Bear down.
Thanks, bear down. All right, Tom. People probably, well, everybody who loves the Bears and 85 Bears know a lot of the history of you and Mike, but you guys had TNTs back in the day. Tell us about that for people who don't know what the, I mean, you guys were restaurateur bar owners, and it was a popular place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a successful restaurant in Joliet. TNT stood for Theron Tomczak. The telephone number ended in 1857. His number was 18. Mine was 57. And it was a restaurant that was predominantly run by my brother and my mom. My mom and my brother, however you want to put it. And it was a great place at the time. And we put a lot of time and effort into it. We are down here weekly. We came and we did a cable TV show out of here every Tuesday during the regular season. We would come and sit behind the counter and sign autographs for hours at a time. So it's something that we took a lot of pride in. And the theme of the restaurant lasted into just about 5 to 8 weeks ago when we ended up selling the final version that ended up being Thayer Brothers Deli and Grill. But Mike and I, because he was from the Frankfort area, which is about 11 miles away from Joliet, and he went to high school in the area. I went to the high school in the area, and we took a lot of pride in it. And it was a fun place that was supported by the community. The location was built across the street from my high school football field. And, it was a mainstay in the area. And I thought it was really important, if we were ever going to get involved in something, to do something that could help the support of our hometowns. And that's exactly what it did.
Who came up with the idea?
I did, because the restaurant that we put it in used to be a restaurant called Sirloiner Pub. And my mom was a waitress there her whole life as we were growing up. And it was a place with a big fireplace in the middle, high vaulted ceilings, fun. And then we went in there and we renovated it. The same guy owned it that owned it when my mom worked there. And we leased the restaurant for a period of time, did the renovations. It had a big parking lot. It was on a busy street corner in Joliet. And I think it's kind of, you know, Ditka had a restaurant, and with the popularity of the team, and we are both local guys. And so we kind of, you know, met with a group of people, and my dad was a super handy guy that helped in the renovations and everything. And my mom was in the restaurant business her whole life, and my brother was an on the spot type of guy. And so, the restaurant business is a difficult business, and all due respect to all successful restaurant owners in the country. It was a great learning experience, and it was a lot of fun for me and my family.
It's a fun conversation with Mike, and he seems like he's in a great place. He's got a lot of knowledge, and he's given back. He's given back to football, and he's certainly the son of a coach, a prominent coach at that, and then a prominent career in the National Football League. He's done a lot. He does. He looks great. So it's always good to see some of the guys from the 85 team. That's where I got my start covering sports in this town, was training camp in Platteville. And so you guys were mythical figures already then.
You know, before you won the Super Bowl. Mike's dad, Ron Tomczak, as you mentioned, was a successful high school coach, and he also owned a health club, a fitness club. His brother, younger brother, Steve, owns a health club, fitness club here in the area in his hometown, and his son plays for Mike Tomczak at Youngstown State as a receiver. And then Mike's brother, his other brother, Ron Tomczak, is a college football official.
And so, the nephew is a very good kicker.
Yes.
Take a chance. Download the Bet Rivers app today, and we're brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. All right, let's dig back into the Bears. Let's look now at the Bears' defense and what they're going to expect from a young, very talented group of receivers that has a hot quarterback.
Well, you know, I think Bears defensively, they're bringing in an entirely different focus defense that they had week one. I think they're taking an entirely different team from first level, second level to third level. I think they have more players on the defensive line that come in there at a fresh rotation. And I think that can take a toll on their offensive line if they're had to make changes throughout the season here. So when you're looking at a Bears defense that is going to be in tune with the snap count of Jordan Love, I think they can get a better get off on the ball. I think they can put the offensive line in a more backpedal type position that can make the decision process by Jordan Love even more sped up. And I don't know what the status of Watson is, their big receiver that they brought aboard, if he's going to be healthy or not. But he has big playability. Reed has big playability. The tight end position has been able to help him. They still have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. However, I think that the defense or the offense of the Green Bay Packers is facing an entirely different defense than they faced week one.
Do you know that the Bears right now are holding opponents' rushing game better than the 85 Bears defense? Statistics.
They run the ball a lot less nowadays than they did in 85. I mean, there's always reasons, and sometimes it's hard to compare. However, the Bears defense has improved at such a dramatic rate that it doesn't surprise me that they're turning teams into teams that have to throw the ball more than they have the luxury of running the ball. And when you see it against some of the opponents that they faced as of recent, especially the Detroit Lions, who has the 1-2 punch of their running game, the Bears have done a great job against it. And I think this is probably the most formidable front seven that they're going to face since Aaron Jones has been a part of the Packers.
Well, he got hurt in the opener, ran off to the locker
pulled
with
a hamstring.
And that's always been problematic. All right, Tom, there's many keys to a game. You can't just focus on one. I'm focusing on making sure you protect the ball and taking the ball away. But I'm also in my mind formulating a plan here. You better have a quick start. If you have a fizzled start, that place gets a little crazy. And the Packers feed off of that. I don't care if it's Favre, it's Rodgers, or now Love. Got to get a quick start. Got a quick start because in their minds, gosh, we did it. Did this happen last year against Detroit? We got knocked out of the playoffs. Now, it's a different team. That team was expected to do great things. This one was not. So they've kind of arrived ahead of schedule a little bit and have a chance here to win their ninth game and go to the playoffs as a late six or seven seed. So I just hope the Bears really start fast. Like, be on it. You know, be crisp, be clean, and don't make yourself dig a hole that you're going to now try to figure out how to get out of late in the game.
Well, you know, they better take a look at last week's game plan because the Atlanta Falcons missed two field goals to open up the game. And if you want to talk about starting fast, okay, if you hold them to three, I think that's a win by the Bears defense. But you can't give them the opportunity to get in the red zone and convert it into a touchdown. Then all of a sudden you have the crowd involved in the game and you're fighting an uphill battle of the aggressiveness of the defense. And I'll tell you this, one of the asterisk points of this game, when Trenton Gill has to punt, he better be good, because I don't think the punting game for the Bears over the last few weeks has been the best part of their special teams. So when you're in position where you can have a punt that makes Green Bay start possession inside the 10-yard line or can kick the ball out of bounds to have a long field, you have to do that. And it's not all about offense and defense. It's about the contributions of the special teams. And I know the Bears, when the Bears do punt, they can't allow their punt returner to have significant first down contributions to the start of the drive. So, yeah, it's going to take the Bears offense, starting fast. And, okay, it's like this. So the Bears have taken the ball if they win the coin toss. And last week when Atlanta won the coin toss, they took the ball first. When you look at Bears starting fast, do you want the Bears to keep the ball if they win the coin toss? Or do you want to give the ball to Jordan Love and put your defense on the field first? Because
I think that is
a significant decision.
I think I want to take the ball for this one.
You do? Okay.
I'm coming in with some swagger. I've won 7 of 12. I got a jazzed up group of guys that have played hard all season long. They're hearing every single day about, oh gosh, can you knock the Packers out of the playoffs? And the messaging is, whether you agree or disagree, is we're worrying about just what we're doing. We want to win for us and build a platform to the future, even though this is going to be a different roster in 2024. So I'd say, is it risky? Sure, it's risky.
All right.
It could be a first down blitz that knocks the ball out, scoop and score, and then I'm gonna be very upset with myself for saying that.
Question about that same thing though. So the Bears take the ball first. So does Luke Getsy think, okay, I know what Green Bay's thinking, this is all I want to do? Or does Luke Getsy say, hey, I know what our offense does well, this is what I want to do? Sometimes, Jeff, when you get caught in these scenarios where you get an ex-coach that's familiar with the product, sometimes you start thinking too much. But I think Luke has done a really nice job of designing first possession drives.
Yes.
And so that piques my interest too. If you say, okay, Luke, what do you want to do? We can take the ball first. Do you feel that you're confident about your first scripted plays that – a combination of what the Bears are, their strong points are right now and how to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I need wins on my first possession here. I need winning plays. I need that confidence to go in there, because you're going in with confidence. Don't let it get muted out of the gate.
The first game of the year, you got Alan Williams calling defenses. Now you got Matt Eberflus. The first game of the year, you had Luke Getsy calling offensive plays, and now you've got Luke Getsy calling plays in the 18th game of the year. That's almost an entire lifetime for an offensive coordinator for the length of one season.
Tom, it's a different team.
I am right.
It's a different team. This is a different. This is not the Week One Bears. Nope.
Right.
Nope. Not by a long shot. Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Chicago Bears. All right, Tom, we're going to wrap up here. Great show, by the way. It's been a lot of fun. Can't believe we've done 48 of these.
And I've got one more question for you on the professional side of it. So your flip chart that you make when you do a broadcast, second to none, I got more information than you can possibly use. Do you make a new flip chart since it's week 18?
Oh, yeah.
Or
always a fresh one.
Okay. So I was reading my flip chart this morning that I made week one. And it's interesting to see within that period of time who wasn't there, who is there, who's not playing, who's now earned a starting position.
What have you learned? What have you learned? Because I haven't done my board yet.
Well, Watson was injured the first game of the year. And now there's speculation that he will be back on the field come Sunday.
Bakhtiari.
There was a lot of,
Bakhtiari's not there.
Yeah. Bakhtiari
played 55 snaps.
The offensive line as a whole, you know, there was a lot of injuries and stuff. And just, you know, just something when you talk about there's a whole life in between week one and week 18. It's funny when you can read the charts that you made week one.
Just wait till training camp when we get started again. Things look so weird. That's for sure. All right. So we talked to Mike Tomczyk, as you heard earlier in the Bears Etc. podcast here. And there were, I told you about his Twitter X comments every day. Here's a couple more because they are really good. They're really good. And I've been reading them for weeks. Give me a critical attitude toward my own faults and a tolerant one towards the faults of others. And he always punctuates with onward. That's a good one for both of us.
Yeah. You're right.
Because sometimes you and I are not tolerant, even of each other sometimes, right? We can get under each other's skin.
You more than me.
Come on. But this one is crystallized Tom Thayer. This is all about Tom Thayer. Ready? It's not bad, but maybe it's not the exact, but speak the truth even if your voice shakes. Because sometimes you get angry, but you speak the truth. Onward, yeah. Tom. Onward.
Onward.
Bears fans.
Listen, I admire Mike, and I'm glad to see that he's giving us some of his knowledge.
No, it's impressive. Yeah. It really is. And I'll tell you what's even more is the volunteer. We didn't get into that, but the volunteer aspect for 8 years as opposed to getting a paid position in college, that's quite the love of the game. And giving back.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I think it's the admiration for the kids that he's working with as well.
Yep. Bears fans, you can be there for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace for the Bears and the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game. Find tickets today at ticketmaster.com/bears. We are going to find out a lot more in one game, which happens to be the finale from your Chicago Bears on Sunday starting at 3:25. You can hear it on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network. Myself, Tom Thayer, and Jason McKee as we wrap up yet another season together. I think I'm right. I think we're going to learn a lot, one way or another, about the Chicago Bears in this game.
I'm already so angst that when I get on that bus after the game, I want to have a smile on my face. It looks like I have a hanger in my mouth. I mean, that's how much I want to be smiling because I know how I'm going to be if it's the other way around.
Well, you know, a couple years back when Jakeem Grant returned a punt for a touchdown and there's a GoPro in our booth. It's not always there. The Bears decide when to do that or not. And I'm losing my mind and the Bears are losing the game and Tom's just watching. And he's not even moving a muscle. And Mike Golic in the booth next to us is laughing. He's seeing me go crazy, and he's pumping his fist like, way to go. Tom's inconsolable. That's how he is at a Bears-Packers game. And you know what? I wouldn't want it any other way. I just love the raw emotion and the feeling because, hey, nobody's invested more than you guys in the Bears-Packers. So, and the fans. Of course. All right, we'll have it for you. And our next Bears Etc. podcast on Tuesday of next week, we'll recap the season and look forward to the future. It's going to be a wild, wild future for the Chicago Bears. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tom, take us home, will you?
Go Bears.
That's it. Thanks for listening.